Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Yechezkel Perek Yud Zayin, the 17th chapter of Sefer Yechezkel. And this Perek is really a particular parable which Yechezkel is displaying to base Israel, to the community of Israel. And he is told, Chud chida umish umashal mashal. Give a parable, weave them some sort of chida, which is a mystery that they have to solve. And what is unusual about this perek is that there is an image and a metaphor which is given, and it is interpreted almost wholesale by Yechezkel himself, which is unusual. Up till now, some of the details are a little more hard to reference and understand. Here we're seeing the explanation. So let's start at the beginning. We're taught this is really essentially the story of the eagle and the cedar. What does that mean? So Yechezkel tells them that there's this Nesher Gadol, this large eagle, Knafayim Erecha Eiver, large wingspan, Melayun Hanoitza. He's got this most beautiful, majestic set of feathers, and it's going to go to Levanon, to the area of Levanon, and it's going to take Tzimras Ha'erez. It's going to take the Tzimras Ha'erez, the top branches of the cedar tree, and it's going to bring them to Eretz Canaan, which most of the Farshim say is the land of merchants, and it is going to replant it there. He's going to try to regrow it on a lot of water in this area, and what's going to grow from it is going to be a Gefen Sarachas Shvelas Koma, a lowly vine is going to grow from it. And it's going to try, this eagle is going to try to make sure that everything in this vine is going to be under its jurisdiction. And in fact, that's what the vine is going to do. The vine is going to try to reach out to get more water from the eagle. This is the description that we're seeing over here. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu explains that, but in the end of the day, if it decides to go away, Titzlach, will it really succeed? Haloyes shrashov yenatek ves periyoya koseis v'yovesh. In just a moment, the eagle could destroy it, could completely uproot it, and allow it to dry up and die. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes on to explain, what is this mashal actually about? So from Psukim Yud Aleph to Yud Utuchov Aleph, essentially, is the summary of the interpretation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, tell B'nai Israel, tell Beis Israel, that I'm going to send the king of Babel. This is Nebuchadnezzar, and he's going to take the king and Osareha, the officials of Yerushalayim. They're all going to be taken to Babel. So that seems to account for our eagle is the king of Babel, clearly. The Tzimras Ha'erez, the top of the cedar tree, seems to be the king, the Osareha, and the princes, and they're going to be taken to Babel, to Babylon. And he's going to make a covenant with the Zera Melucha, with the seed of the king, and make a covenant with them that it'll be a lowly nation not to rebel against Babylon. But in fact, the nation did rebel, and she sent messengers to Egypt to get horses and military support. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks, Hayitzlach, will you succeed? Will the perpetrators really escape? HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes those who rejected this deal made with the eagle, made with Babel, will die, and Egypt herself will reject the military support. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's almost as if rejecting his covenant too is to be found in rejecting the deal made with Babylon. So before we get to the last point of part of this perek, just to understand this, everything seems to be pretty clear, but just a few details which need to be ironed out. So when we talk about this Tzimras Ha'erez, that this eagle swoops in and takes this Erez away from Israel, which is called Levanon, the area of Lebanon, of where the cedars grow. What's really going on over here? So the Radak says that it could be referring to how Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, was the only one to get to the highest point in Israel, to the most sacred place in Israel, which is, of course, the top of the tree, which is the Beis HaMikdash. So he had access to the Beis HaMikdash, which no other king, Sancheriv, certainly wasn't able to get there. No other king had yet accessed, because Israel themselves thought that they were impenetrable, certainly in Yerushalayim. However, the Radak also suggests, and as many other Mepharshim suggest, that this is actually referring to Yechoniah, meaning to say remember that there were two stages of exile. First, there was the initial stage of Yechoniah, the son of Jehoiakim, so the grandson of Yoshiah HaMelech. He was taken to Babylon along with 10,000 of the Charash HaMisker, the artisans, the leaders of the people were taken from Yerushalayim. And then Tzidkiel became king. And for a while, Tzidkiel was good. He lived under Bavel, and then he rebelled. So this seems to be what's going on over here. The Mefarshim point out is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took to Bavel Yechoniah, and then he replanted the vine. He tried to get this vine to grow, but he said the vine can only grow under the shadow of the eagle. Meaning to say, if you pay homage to Bavel and you don't fight, then Tzidkiel, you will succeed. But ultimately, Tzidkiel did not. Tzidkiel sought power, sought grandeur. He made deals with Egypt, sought military assistance. And as the Mefarshim point out, when ultimately they turned to Egypt for military assistance, Egypt was not there to respond. So that's why it says in Pasuk Yozayin, V'loy bechel gadol uvekal rav, ya'aseh osoy param bil milchama bishpoich salela uvenois dayek lachris nafshois rabois. They weren't there to help. When the siege walls went up and the machines went against the walls of Yerushalayim. If you remember that in the times of Tzidkiyahu HaMelech, there was a siege against Yerushalayim. And in the middle of that siege, Egypt attacked the area of Ashkelon, which pulled the Babylonians away from the war effort. And at that point in time, many of the Jews who lived in Yerushalayim at that time thought that this was ultimately the redemption. This is when, like by Chizkiyahu HaMelech, when the Assyrians had to leave, so too the Babylonians were leaving, and the Egyptians would come to their aid. But it turns out the Egyptians turned about face, and they fled, and ultimately did not engage in Babel, who came straight back to Yerushalayim, and that was the ultimate siege of Yerushalayim, ending in the destruction of Yerushalayim in the temple. So it's a pretty clear expression over here, where if they'd listened to the Yirmiyahu's of the world and just made peace with Babel, listened to the eagle who'd been given power by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then yes, then they would ultimately have succeeded. It seems also that there seems to be almost a personification where Bavel, Babylon, seems to be taking the role of Hashem in a very direct course, as we've seen through Sefer Yirmiyahu as well, which is that the bris, the covenant made with Babylon, seems to be like the covenant made with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and upon reneging on that, it's reneging on HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well, and the retribution is done through the medium of the Babylonians as well. Finally, after this very terrible and difficult prophecy, it closes with words of Nechama, which is in Pasuk Chof Hei. Pasuk Chof Bei is till the end, which is Chof Dalad. And in this area, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? V'lokachti ani mitzameres ha'erez harama, v'nosati merosh yon koisov, rak ektoy v'sholach v'shosalti ani al har govoya v'cholul. That I'm going to take this cedar, and I'm going to the part that was taken earlier, the top of the cedar tree, and I'm going to replant it on a very tall mountain, and I'm going to allow it to grow, and it's going to grow fruit. It's going to be strong. It'll grant shade for those around me. And then the yodu kol atzei asadeh, all the trees of the field will know ki ani Hashem ishpalti etz gavoy v'higbati etz shofal. I lowered the great cedar tree. I increased or brought up the lowly tree. I dried up the wet tree. V'frachti etz yovesh. Ani Hashem dibarti v'asisi. I'm Hashem who did this. Meaning to say, when you see Bavel rising, when you see the Jews going down, when you see Yechoniah coming back, it's all me. Understand this is the machinations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What you see from here is an interesting thing is, what is the Tzameres Erez, which is being replanted on the hill? So the most of the Mefarshim, that Barbanel says that this is Yechoniah who is being replanted, which is ultimately funny because the first exile was almost ignored, meaning to say Yechoniah's absence was not, leaving the scene was seen as the end of the line for him, whereas when Tzidkiyahu was seen as the hope. But ultimately Tzidkiyahu is killed, his children are killed, that line ends. It's Yechoniah who's sort of tucked away in the early exile, who is the lucky one who's able to continue through his grandson, whose name will be Zerubbabel, who will ultimately be the first political leader, not a king, but the closest to being one under the Persian control when the Jews return to the land of Israel. So the end is not here, Hashem will replant that. Rashi says, though, that this Tzameres Erez, the top of this cedar which is being replanted on the mountain, is referring to Mashiach. And as extended by the Rinas Yitzchak by Rav Sirotsky, you see an interesting thing. He says, you see that this Mashiach will bear fruit, which is an indication that maybe Mashiach may be killed, and there may be children of Mashiach who will continue. There will be others who will continue the mission of Mashiach, which is an interesting thing to think about, especially in today's day and age, when we think about Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David, and how that it's complex. Geula does not come immediately, doesn't come simply. There's many casualties along the way, but nonetheless, we still see that ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings up, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings down, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring the Mashiach to save all of us. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.